meeting with the Jupiter station's recruiter, he was beaming with happiness. Until he saw his parents sitting at one of the restaurant's tables with Angela and Dorn. "Dad's not going to like my news," he said to himself. Drawing in a deep breath, he headed for his family. The restaurant was filling up. The customers at the other tables were casting uneasy glances toward the cyborg, but Theo ignored them as he hurried to join the group. He grabbed the empty chair between his father and sister and started to say, "I've got news for..." Victor Zacharias cut off his son's words with a dark scowl. "Since when do you encourage your sister to drink wine? In the company of strangers, no less." Angela, across the table from Theo, tried to suppress a giggle and failed. Theo blinked at his father. "Dad, Angie's an adult. That doesn't mean..." Pauline laid a hand on her husband's arm. "It's all right, Victor. It's nothing to get upset about." "I wasn't drunk," Angela said. Then she hiccuped. Victor tried to frown at his daughter, but slowly a smile spread across his face. "Maybe I'm overly protective," he admitted. Angela nodded vigorously. Turning to Theo, Pauline asked, "What's your good news, Thee?" He glanced at his father, then replied, "I've landed a position on the Jupiter station. It's only Jupiter." His father seemed startled. "You're going to leave us?" Pauline asked.
"I'm going to Jupiter, too," said Dorn.
Ignoring the cyborg, Victor asked, "How in the world could you do this? Why didn't you talk it over with your mother and me first?"
"Because you'd say no," Theo replied silently.
Their surprise and displeasure was about what he'd expected. "I met with their recruiter less than an hour ago. A girl I met here at the sushi bar introduced me. It's only a menial position, really. I'll be a junior-level technician, but I can take university courses electronically and work toward a science degree."
"Jupiter," Pauline murmured.
"The girl who introduced me is the medical officer on the ship that'll take me to Jupiter," Theo went on. "She's really elegant."
"They took you on?" Victor demanded, suspicious.
"Just like that?"
"They need people, Dad. They're having trouble getting qualified people."
"I'm not surprised," Victor grumbled. "That outpost is a long way from civilization."
"They'll train me on the job," Theo went on enthusiastically. "It's a great opportunity."
"Jupiter," Pauline repeated. "It's such a long way off."
Angela asked, "How long will you be there, Thee?"
"I'm contracted for 2 years."
"You've signed a contract with them?" Victor asked darkly.
"Without asking me? Without telling me?"
"I'm telling you now, Dad. The pay's good, if that means anything to you."
"2 years," Pauline murmured.
"At least," said Theo.
They fell silent, each thinking their own thoughts. Pauline looked at her husband. Victor knew what she was trying to tell him. Theo's grown up. It's time he went his own way. This was inevitable. But he saw the pain in his wife's eyes. Leaving for Jupiter, just like that, spur of the moment. The boy has no common sense. "I'm going to Jupiter, too," Dorn said again.
"On the Hyades?"
Theo asked.
"Yes."
"We'll be on the ship together, then." With the bare minimum of a nod, Dorn said, "Big George wants me off the habitat in 2 days.
"But Hyades doesn't shove off for a week," said Theo.
"I've made arrangements to live on the ship, starting tomorrow. That will keep George's blood pressure down to normal. Almost."
"What will you be doing at the Jupiter station?"
Angela asked the cyborg. Dorn made a one-shouldered shrug. "I think they want to study me. They're making deep dives into the Jovian Ocean, and a man who's already half-machine may be very useful to them." Pauline started to say, "You'll be leaving in a..." "So there you are," called a voice from halfway across the quiet restaurant. Heads turned. Chyna Madagascar threaded her way between tables, her eyes aimed at Victor. She was wearing a shiny black suit that fitted her like a second skin, polished knee-length boots, a flaming red scarf knotted around her throat. Victor stumbled to his feet, his face flushed. Theo and Dorn rose too. Without being asked, Chyna took the unoccupied chair at the foot of the table. Flustered, Victor introduced, "Chena Madagascar, the owner and skipper of Pleiades." Chena made a brittle smile. "Not anymore, Vic. You screwed me out of my ship."
Victor sputtered as he resumed his seat. Theo almost laughed. He'd never seen his father looking so flummoxed. Then he realized, Madagascar, that's Altai's last name, too. And they look so much alike.
"I'm Pauline Zacharias," said his mother, smiling steel hard at Chena. Chena nodded. "And you must be Angela and Theo. And you're the one we voted to exile." Before anyone else could speak, Victor said, "I brought Pleiades back to you. I'm sorry, I can't it, Vic. I don't own Pleiades anymore. The insurance consortium owns it. They paid off on the bird when you stole it, and I bought a new ship, Hyades." "Hyades?" Theo blurted. "Then Altai is your daughter?" "Smart fella," said Chena. "Like her father." "So what do I do with Pleiades?" Victor asked. "You don't have to do a thing. Insurance agents are taking it over right at this instant. They'll probably want your hide, but that's not any of my business. Not anymore." With that, she got to her feet, blew Victor a kiss, and sauntered away from their table. Victor ordered another bottle of wine. It wasn't until they were in bed that night that Pauline asked, "Just who was that woman?" Glad that it was too dark for her to see his cheeks reddening, Victor cleared his throat before replying, "I told you she owned Pleiades. I stole it from her. And now her insurance carrier has repossessed the ship?" He stared up at the shadowy ceiling of their bedroom. "Yes, and they want me to pay for damages. The difference between what they paid Chena and what Pleiades is worth on the open market." Pauline fell silent, and Victor was glad of it. He closed his eyes and tried to change the subject. "Big George says he'll hire me for the new construction program. There's a lot of building going on here and new projects in the planning stage." "Then we can stay at Ceres?" Pauline asked, sounding pleased at the prospect. "For as long as they keep building, we won't have to be rock rats anymore, and I'll be able to pay off the insurance debt. In time... Angela wants to go to Selene, to the university. The moon? But how? She says she'll work her way through. She'll take classes part-time and find a job." "Doing what?" He sensed his wife's amusement. "She learned a lot while we were on Syracuse without you. She's got a good head for math. Do you think she'll be all right on her own? She's never..." "Victor, dear... it's time for Angie to go out on her own. We can't keep her with us forever." He nodded reluctantly. "I suppose not. But with Angie going to Selene and Theo going to Jupiter, it will be just you and me, Victor. The two of us, alone, together." "The way it was in the beginning," he said, reaching toward her. Pauline melted into his arms, but asked softly, "Just how well did you know this Chena woman?" He froze. "There it is," Victor said to himself. For the flash of an instant, he thought about lying his way through, but he heard himself say, "When I was forced to work on her ship, we slept together." "That's what I thought," Pauline said, her voice gentle, far from accusative. She had that possessive air about her. "I didn't have much choice," he tried to explain. "She was captain of the ship, and we'd been separated for years," Pauline finished for him. "You didn't even know if we were still alive." "I didn't have much choice," he repeated. "Neither did I," Pauline whispered. It took a moment for Victor to understand what she'd said. "You and Volker?" He couldn't see her face in the darkness, but he heard the remorse in her voice. "Once." "He forced you?" "Not really.
I was trying to protect Angie. He would have gone after her.